Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Hasta Darasata Sri Sriman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Sri Croatian Maha Mahotsava Ki Nithai Gopremanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swam Padantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So today is the third in a series of five lectures covering five different topics, the five potent forms of devotional service, as explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion, that these five items, chanting the holy names of the Lord, worshiping the Lord in the form of His deity, associating with devotees, hearing and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and residing in holy places. These five items of devotional service are considered the most potent and most powerful. And simply a gross neophyte, or one who is just beginning their spiritual practice, can experience ecstasy in contact with one or more of these processes. They are so powerful. And today we spoke so far about the glories of the holy name. And then yesterday we spoke on the importance of worshipping the deities, especially for those who are in the Grihastha ashram. It's essential to worship the deities, not only essential. As Srila Prabhupada says, one will fall down if they don't practice deity worship in that ashram. And so today is association. And this is a broad topic. It can be explained in terms of association with pure devotees, or it can be extended to association with devotees, all devotees, or just devotee association in general. So I'll try to cover both aspects of this, of association. Actually, if we study the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in the narrations of Chaitanya Charitamrita and also Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find that the importance of a devotee association is emphasized so strongly, how important it is to associate with devotees, and how Lord Chaitanya emphasized that amongst all the aspects of devotional service. There's not a whole lot about holy places, or even Srimad Bhagavatam, or even worshipping the deity, although they're mentioned, but chanting the holy name and associating with devotees was the fundamental principles of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. And he performed all his pastimes centered around these two things. So I'll begin with a statement by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada made one very simple statement regarding association. He said, three things are important in your practice of devotional service. He said, association, association, association. Can you remember those three? So this is a somewhat right to the point that how important it is to associate with Vaishnavas. And we'll get into that. Also, when Lord Chaitanya was instructing Srila Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan Goswami asked him, what is the first business of a Vaishnava? And Sanatan Goswami, Lord Chaitanya responded, Asat Sangha Tyaga E Vaishnava Achar Sri Sangha Eka Asadu Krishna Bhakta Ar. A Vaishnava should always avoid the association of ordinary people. Common people are very much materially attached, especially to the opposite sex. Vaishnavas should avoid the company of those who are not devotees of Lord Krishna. So from we're speaking now from the negative point, that this was the first instruction that Lord Chaitanya gave, that one must give up the association of non-devotees and associate with devotees. Because association is always required in life. Everyone associates with other living beings, other human beings. So what is the nature and quality of that association? Just briefly about what we say, asat sangha, or those who are not devotees. So some of you may ask the question, you know, we do have jobs, and do we also have responsibilities in the world? And we do come in contact regularly with non-devotees. What is that? How does that apply in our life? Of course, as much as possible, one should minimize that association. But in many cases, one cannot avoid that just by one's lifestyle. But Srila Prabhupada explains association means affection for, not so much physical proximity, that's also there, but affection for means to develop a relationship based on some intimacy. So we should intimately associate with devotees and officially associate with non-devotees. In other words, there's some business to take care of. There's some responsibility. Keep it official. Unless you're preaching, that's different. If you're preaching, then there is some deeper, what we say, discussions. But generally, in your day-to-day activities, keep it official. Because if you develop intimacy with non-devotees, then topics come up, which are, when we say, many of them are against the principles of devotional service. Because non-devotees, like, their principle of life is sense gratification. And the devotee's principle of life is to satisfy the senses of Krishna. So it's completely opposite. Non-devotees glorify the things of this world as exalted and great, think that achievements of these things are the success and goal of life. Devotees are trying to give up these things and understand that success in life is developing our love for Krishna. So, as they say, there are two kinds of birds. There are swans and there are crows. Everyone, of course, if you go to India, you can see crows quite often. Crows are everywhere. And you find crows mostly running around the garbage. They're very enthusiastic to chew on garbage. So non-devotees are compared to crows because this material world is like a garbage dump. In that, one time Srila Prabhupada was He was in Mexico. This country right below America. And he was walking, and he come across this big place, big thing, big garbage dump, big machine for collecting garbage. And there was something written on the side in Spanish. So Prabhupada asked one of the Spanish devotees, what does that say? And the devotee said, it says, place your garbage here. Prabhupada said, yes, we should put the whole material world there. For one who understands the beauty of Krishna consciousness, nothing in this world really has any real value, in the sense that its value is used in terms of its utility in Krishna consciousness, but it cannot give us really any happiness. So non-devotees, they simply see the garbage as enjoyable, just as crows go for the garbage. And the birds of the swans, they go for nice, celestial, beautiful lakes and streams and nice forests, and where everything is very, very pleasant and peaceful and very beautiful. So devotees are like swans we look for. And devotees can take, they're like a swan also. A swan can find a combination of milk and water and drink simply the milk without drinking the water. Swan has that special feature. So devotees always look for the best within everything. They always look for the spiritual aspect in all that. Whereas the non-devotees are always looking for sense gratification. So in our association with non-devotees, we should always keep a level of officialness, but no, we give respects to all living entities, because all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. But intimate association with non-devotees is like drinking poison. Lord Chaitanya called it drinking poison willingly. It's very dangerous, because we can easily become affected by that association. So one should associate with devotees like that. And there's another verse. So I just wanted to touch non-devotee association briefly, because before we can really associate with devotees in the proper way, we have to really give up the association of non-devotees. Because non-devotee association really pollutes the whole quality of what it means to associate. Devotee association is based on two principles, on service and on hearing, or we might use the other way around, on hearing and on rendering service. We serve each other, we hear from the devotees like that. These are the basic. And I've developed friendship also, and I'll speak a little bit more on that. There's one verse I'm not exactly sure where it's from. It's Prabhupada would recite it quite regularly. I think it's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes, it's actually from Lord Chaitanya. Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastri Hoy, Lava Mata Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. This is a powerful verse, is that simply by association with a pure devotee of the Lord, one moment, not just association, but one moment's association, one can reach perfection. The word is lavamata. Lavamata means 1/11th of a second. If you could take a second and divide it into 11 parts, take one of those parts, that much time is equal to what's necessary to become purified. Sounds really impossible, doesn't it? I've been associating with pure devotees for a long time and still I'm not purified. I think the verse is a mistake. The scriptures are not really clear. But, you know, this question was asked to Srila Prabhupada. What does it mean, 1/11th of a second of a great soul, one can become perfect? And it's interesting, Prabhupada's answer was really interesting. He said, when the wood is dry, just like wood, when it becomes dry, as soon as it comes near fire, it burns immediately. But if it's wet, then it has to dry out first before it will actually ignite. So if we're a little wet yet, in other words, if we're still somewhat, our consciousness is not right, then we have to continue to associate until our consciousness becomes, what we say, completely receptive to that association. Then, in that state of consciousness, that association can bring about perfection. So it's a matter of consciousness. Mm-hmm. So therefore, ultimately the answer is one should continue to associate with pure devotees or advanced devotees, and gradually, by hearing from them and rendering service, gradually one will develop the consciousness wherein one can immediately understand the principle of surrender to Krishna. It will take hold within the heart. There's another verse. I'll read a few verses just to give you a little understanding how important association is. And this verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's Shushusha Sharadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Shyan Mahadseva Vipra Purnya Tirtana Sevana. And this is spoken by Suta Goswami. And he's speaking to the sages. He says, O twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. And by such service, one gets an affinity to hear the message of Vasudeva. So here, Prabhupada explains in the purport, by serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the qualities of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering into the kingdom of God. So this is a very important point, eagerness to hear. Of course, all of you are eager to hear, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But this eagerness is a quality that develops through association with and serving great souls. Because by serving great souls, this pleases Krishna. And by pleasing Krishna, Krishna endows that person with that mood of hearing. In other words, one gets the taste to hear. This is the spiritual understanding of how this process works. It's not a mechanical process, it's a spiritual process. And everything manifests according to the mercy and the arrangements of the Lord. So when by serving and hearing from great souls, this is the greatest service that one can do. And by that, and one gets a taste to hear, then one's life is pretty much perfect in devotional service. We need to get that taste, that ruchi, that sweetness, that desire to hear. Lord Chaitanya, when he was here, he demonstrated that in the mood of a devotee. One of his constant associates was Srila Gadadhar Pandit. And who was Gadadhar Pandit? He was Srimati Radharani. He came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna and Radha together. Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nohionya. The two have become one. And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but he's endowed with the mood, the emotions of Srimati Radharani and her color. She's called Gaurangi, he's called Gauranga. But Radharani has come again as Gadadhar to associate with Lord Chaitanya in that particular Leela, to assist the Lord in his transcendental pastimes. And those two were always together. From the time they both appeared, practically they were the same age. Their association was inseparable. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Gadadhar also took a form of sannyas and left Navadvipa to join Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. And they were constantly, when Lord Chaitanya went traveling, Gadadhar Pandit wanted to go traveling with the Lord, but the Lord wouldn't let him go. Because Gadadhar Pandit had taken a vow to stay with the deity of Gopinath, his worshipful deity in Jagannath Puri, and never leave the deity. So when Gadadhar wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya on his travels to South India, Lord Chaitanya prevented him. He said, "You have taken the vow to worship the deity, to stay with the deity." He called a Kshetra Sannyas. It's the kind of sannyas when one dedicates themselves to one particular deity for their entire life. So Gadadhar was in that mood, but still, when Lord Chaitanya left, he wanted to go. And so he wanted to break his vow, and Lord Chaitanya wouldn't let him. Because Lord Chaitanya was a personification of religious principles. He followed religious principles very strictly, as a sannyasi and as a devotee, to teach the world in general what it means to practice devotional service correctly. But Gadadhar Pandit said, "You're asking me to stay here with Gopinath, but you're non-different to Gopinath. If I go with you, I'm still with Gopinath." But Lord Chaitanya still wouldn't accept Gadadhar's explanation. But they were always together. Finally, the Lord came back after some time. And towards the end of the Leela, Gadadhar Pandit would read Srimad Bhagavatam. He would read that scripture practically the whole day, outside of his worship of the deity. And Lord Chaitanya would love to listen to hear Gadadhar Pandit read Srimad Bhagavatam. He would read so sweetly and so full of devotion. And Lord Chaitanya's favorite stories, he had two favorite stories in Bhagavatam, the stories of Prahlad Maharaj and the stories of Dhruva Maharaj. The stories of 2 5-year-old pure devotees. That was Lord Chaitanya's favorite stories. And Gadadhar Pandit would sit and read the whole story, and Lord Chaitanya would listen. And then when he would finish the story, he would say to Gadadhar Pandit, "Read it again." And he would read the whole story again, and Lord Chaitanya would say, "Read it again." And he would read it again. And it's amazing because it says that Vrindavan Das Thakur, who writes about this particular pastime, says that the Lord would listen to the stories up to 100 times. He would just absorb himself in hearing Bhagavatam. He would do this every day, just hearing the pastimes of the Lord. So the process of hearing about the glories of the Lord is shown by the great souls, that even great souls, what to speak of those who are practicing Krishna consciousness in the beginning. This is where we get our taste from, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. But it's all done in association with devotees. Association is the foundation for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. I'll read some quotes from Srila Prabhupada. This was a question. This is a question by one devotee, doesn't mention who, but this was a room conversation in New Delhi, November 3rd, 1973. What is the value of association? That was the question. Prabhupada says, "Satsanga means assembly, it means discussion. Bodhyantas parantrayam tusyanti chamanti cha ramanti cha." If you're not interested in association, discussion, Prabhupada says, then you're finished. So karmis, they are fools and rascals. When you have got this temple, it is not that you should be engaged morning till night until you go to bed for sense gratification. That is not life. That is karmi's life. You have no time for devotee association. Then you cannot make any progress. We have to work for organization, but not that the whole day and night we engage in no sadhu sangha. That is misguided policy. That will spoil the whole structure. Prabhupada's in Los Angeles. He said, "In this Los Angeles temple, they regularly assemble during RT in class. If this principle is lost, then you are karmis. You come back at 6 o'clock, spending all your duties, suspending all your other duties, and assemble by assemble. Joint mess program, it's not good. You bring some money, You bring some money and spend jointly for eating, sleeping. That is joint mess. You know that joint mess, this word, what is that meaning? So in India, they have this program where people live together and everyone works and they bring all the money into one group and then they divide it up and everyone benefits. The Prabhupada said, that's not our temples. Our temples are meant to hear and chant the glories of the Lord in association with devotees. And there should be regular programs going on. Here Prabhupada says, the first business we should do is to preach to the devotees. He says, it is better to maintain a devotee than try to convince others to become devotees. We're out preaching, but what about the devotees? So he says it's more important to maintain and to uplift the devotees than to try to go out and preach to make other devotees. Because if we're neglecting the devotees here, and we're trying to go out and make more, then it's somewhat, counterproductive, but it's not really intelligent, because the devotees also need to be preached to, or to be uplifted. So here Prabhupada speaking, it is the duty of the GBC to maintain devotees, keep them in the higher standard of Krishna consciousness, and give them good instructions. And then let them go out and preach for making more devotees. Your first job is to make sure that every one of the devotees in your zone of management is regularly reading our literature and discussing the subject seriously from different angles, and seeing and that they are somehow or other absorbing the knowledge of Krishna conscious philosophy. If they are fully educated in our philosophy, and if they can get all the knowledge and study from it, from every angle of viewpoint, then very easily they will perform tapasya and renunciation, and then they will make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So that can be done not only in our temples, but also in the congregation, within the communities. Temples are a nice place to come and to chant and hear the glories of the Lord. But we see our society has become very congregational. Most of you here are not temple devotees, are living outside. So we can create that same atmosphere within the community. Not only depending completely on the temple, but associating in each other's homes and hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Because this once one is absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, then ultimately one is completely satisfied. One is completely on the transcendental platform simply by absorbing oneself in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. This is our process of Krishna consciousness. This is called Krishna Katha. So Prabhupada goes on and gives more and more statements regarding the importance of bodhyantas parasparam, or chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees. He says, you can see Krishna face to face simply by this association and by sadhu sangha, Krishna katha. So this is the importance of association. Association is so important. What do we gain from association? Not only hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, we get inspiration in our Krishna conscious service. We get ideas how to serve the Lord. We get inspired to continue in our devotional service. When we're not in association with devotees, or if we're in association with others who are non-devotees, it's very hard to become inspired in Krishna consciousness. So association gives us inspiration, gives us ideas, gives us protection from Maya, gives us happiness through that association, enlightenment, and everything becomes clear in the association of devotees. Sometimes we find it difficult to associate with devotees because our temperaments may be slightly different, or there may be difference of angles of vision on how to serve. But that is something we have to deal with. But ultimately, somehow, to go beyond the differences and come to the center of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Otherwise, it's very difficult. We have the story of, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, of Bharat Maharaj. You all know that story from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bharat Maharaj. He was the king of the world. In fact, the whole planet was known as Bhartvarsya. And Bart Maharaj at one point left his position and retired. And he was finishing out his spiritual life in the forest. He took up a kind of vanaprast within the forest. He was performing his puja. He was performing his various prayers. But somehow or other, an incident happened where one deer, a deer, an animal, she was pregnant. And all of a sudden, a lion roared. And the roar of the lion scared the deer so much that out of fear, she lost her life. And because of that, at the same time, the child was born, the baby. So a little deer came out, and it was out without a mother. So Bart Maharaj, he saw all this, and he felt compassion upon this little baby deer. So he took it into his care, and he raised it like a child. But the problem was, while he was doing that, he became so attached to the deer that he forgot about his spiritual practice. He neglected his prayers, his puja, and whatever else he did, and he simply focused on taking care of the deer. And as you read this particular pastime, he becomes so enchanted and so much overwhelmed with the deer and the deer's care that the deer actually becomes almost like his wife. And he gives up all his practices, and eventually, of course, the story goes on how he left his body thinking of the deer and became a deer in his next life. Now, there's so many things, so many messages in this story, but there's one particular point that's interesting, is that he didn't have any association with devotees. If there was a noted devotee there, they would have said, "Hey, Bart, you know, you're in Maya. You know, get with it. You know, this is, you're just overly attached to this animal. You're not chanting your rounds. You know, you're not practicing your spiritual, you know, vratas. You're not doing what you usually do." So because of no association, you know, he was able to continue to fall. So any association would have reminded him of his situation and probably could have helped him. So this is the value of association. If we're going off a little bit, devotees are there to help push us back on the right path. So association is very important. And of course, the scriptures emphasize the importance of association with great souls or those who are on the purified platform. That association is so powerful. There's one verse spoken by Sri Prahlad Maharaj. He speaks this verse to his father, Hiranyakashipu. He's giving his father instructions. Prahlad was so bold that he wasn't afraid of his father. The whole world was afraid of Hiranyakashipu, but not Prahlad. And he gives one verse, Naisam matastarvam uru krammanam grim sprisat tanartha pago yadartha mahiya sampada rajo bisekam nischinchinanam na vritidnyavat nischinchinanam na vrinityayadvat. Translation: unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava who is completely freed from material contaminations, persons very much inclined towards materialist life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be free from material contamination. So here's the beginning of Krishna consciousness, to take shelter of a great soul and to hear from them. Krishna says in one verse that's mentioned in the Adi Purana, those who say they are my devotees, they're not my devotees. But those who say they're devotees of my devotees are actually my devotees. So here Krishna gives the standard that to be a devotee of Krishna means really to be a devotee of his devotee. That is the only way. In fact, that is fundamental to Krishna consciousness. One has to take shelter of the Lord's devotee. The Lord's devotee is more merciful than the Lord. The Lord is the source of all mercy, and everything comes from Him. But the Lord's pure devotee carries within him the Lord's mercy. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, He says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu na me dveshasti na priya. He says, I'm equal to everyone. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. But one who renders a service to me is in me and is a friend, and I am a friend in him. So, Prabhupada comments on this, that Krishna says he's impartial, but he is partial. He gives his mercy to some, and others he won't. But he, in order to uphold his statement in Bhagavad Gita of being impartial, he gives all his mercy to the pure devotee. And he says, you give it out. And if you give it out, then that is, in other words, whatever the pure devotee says, the Lord agrees to. This is the intimacy between the Lord and his pure devotee. So Prabhupada said, even if a person is a rascal, and he has no good qualities, and still, if the pure devotee shows mercy to them, then Krishna must show him mercy. Krishna must do it. So that is the mercy of a pure devotee. So therefore, sometimes we say the pure devotee is more merciful than Krishna. Someone asked Prabhupada, you know, Lord Chaitanya spread Krishna consciousness all over India, and he was the Supreme Lord. Why didn't he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? Why didn't he do that? And Prabhupada said, he left that up to me. He wanted to give me the credit. Because Krishna loves his pure devotees so much that he wants to give his pure devotees credit. But Krishna ultimately is the source of that success. So this is the glories of the pure devotees. And there's one verse also in the spoken by Lord Shiva. This is a very important verse. Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat param pataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. In that verse it says that of all types of worship, the worship of Vishnu or Krishna is the best. But better than the worship of Krishna or Vishnu is the worship of his devotee. So we can see how important it is to worship the devotee and to associate with devotees. Another part I'd like to describe is how to associate with devotees. This is also important to understand. Because all devotees are special. This pure devotee, of course, is very dear to the Lord, but all devotees are dear to the Lord. Whether a devotee is pure or not, they're very dear to the Lord. Why? Because they've taken shelter of the Lord. So associate with devotees in general is the principle of practicing Krishna consciousness. How do we associate with devotees? This is also mentioned in Nectar of Instructions. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that there are six ways to exchange relationships with devotees, or loving relationships, by giving gifts to a devotee and to receive gifts. This is one way to exchange love. To speak confidential thoughts to another devotee and to hear another devotee's confidential thoughts. And the last one is to give prasadam and to receive prasadam. These are the six exchanges of love between devotees. So this is how Prabhupada said, I have created this Krishna Consciousness Society to facilitate these six exchanges of love. That devotees come together and discuss the glories of the Lord. This is exchanging confidential thoughts. This is an extension of that principle. Taking prasadam and giving prasadam. So Prabhupada was asked one time, some devotees like to eat prasadam, and some devotees like to serve prasadam. Which one is better? Guess what Prabhupada said. Serve? Who says serve? You're all very magnanimous. Who says taking prasadam is better? Only a few. Who says they're both the same? You're the great scholars of great litter. Because they are, they're all the same. Whether you take it or serve it, it's the same. Why? Because what is prasadam? It's Krishna. So if you give Krishna, that's nice. And if you accept Krishna, that's nice. It's Krishna. So this is a very sweet exchange between devotees, to accept prasadam and to give prasadam. And again, Gadadhar Pandit, he was a personification of serving prasadam. He would serve prasadam so sweetly and with such love that Lord Chaitanya could not refuse anything he cooked or anything he served. It was so dumb. I remember one time I went to one place. This is the opposite principle. We went to Jagannath Puri. This was in the year 2001, and we were there for the Rath Yatra. And the devotees hadn't arrived with the paraphernalia for cooking and serving, so we were forced to eat in the local restaurants in Jagannath Puri. So the devotee said, well, this is a real nice restaurant in Puri. They serve nice vegetarian food. So let's go there. So it was about 200 of us. We went to this one restaurant. And they were serving us about 50 at a time. So I remember when I went in there, the servers were just, they were taking the prasadam and they were throwing it on the plate. Some of it was missing the plate. Serious. Yeah. You're amazed, but this was what went on. I completely lost my appetite. I mean, I took a little bit, and I just figured I'll just fast a little. Because there was no bhakti in it. It was just like, if somebody says, here, eat this. There's no love, there's no devotion, it's nothing, right? But when even if you're sitting there and you're taking prasadam and you're full and you're satisfied, someone comes along and says, Prabhu, I made this for you. I spent extra time cooking and everyone likes it. Please try it. And you don't want any more, but you can't refuse, right? That's bhakti. So bhakti, that prasadam becomes what we say, wonderful when it's served in that mood of love and devotion. So that's one of the wonderful exchanges between the devotees. So you remember that in your day-to-day activity of serving prasadam, because it's very important. Okay, so these are some basic principles about association. Also, I'll tell you a wonderful story. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How powerful association is with great souls. Lord Chaitanya's devotees who were living in Navadvip would regularly travel from Navadvip to Puri every year to see Lord Chaitanya for the Rath Yatra. And that journey took about a month, because there wasn't no railway systems, and everything was done by ox cart, or they had to walk. So it took a month. And one devotee whose name was Shivananda Sen. Now his service to the Vaishnavas was to make sure that all the devotees got proper places to stay while they were traveling and prasadam. That was his service. He was a grihastha. His name was Shivananda Sen. And he had three children. Now, he did this service with such care and with such devotion that everyone loved Shivananda Sen. Now, one time, one dog came into the association of the devotees and just started walking with the devotees. And Shivananda Sen was thinking, well, Krishna has sent this dog to be with us, so I should also take care of the dog. So he was feeding the dog regularly as he was taking care of the devotees. And Sivananda Sen also had the responsibility of paying the tolls, because they would go through toll areas and they have to pay tolls. And sometimes they had problems passing certain places. They had to go crossing rivers, and he would deal with the boatmen. He made all the arrangements. So one day he had to go ahead and take care of some tolls. So he said to the other devotees, please make sure you feed the dog. Don't neglect the dog, because, you know, he saw him as a Vaishnav. So he went, and he was away for a while. When he came back, the dog was gone. He asked, where the dog? The devotees forgot to feed the dog. And he was heartbroken. His mind was really unhappy. So they continued on. Finally, they arrived in Jagannath Puri. When they went to Jagannath Puri, the first thing they did was go see Lord Chaitanya. And they came into the place where Lord Chaitanya was in his room. And guess what? The dog was there. Same dog. And Lord Chaitanya had some coconut pulp. And he was throwing it to the dog. And he was saying, chant Hare Krishna. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, the dog was chanting Hare Krishna. I guess in dog language. I don't know how that goes, but I'm not going to try, because you'll just laugh if I do try. But the dog was actually chanting Hare Krishna. The next day, nobody saw the dog, because he left his body and went back to Godhead. What does that story show? Of course, it shows how merciful Lord Chaitanya is. He just took a dog back to Godhead. But in order to get the association of the Lord, the dog first got the association of the Lord's devotees. And when the devotee shows his mercy, then the Lord shows his mercy. So the story is very instructive. And if we want to get the mercy of the Lord, we have to get the mercy of the Lord's devotees. If a devotee is happy with you, even if it's, you know, the pure devotee, of course, but any devotee, if a devotee is pleased with you, then Krishna is pleased, because Krishna responds to his devotees. So it's very important to associate with devotees, to serve devotees, to hear from devotees, to develop friendship with devotees, because we want to develop that family. Prabhupada said this is the family of Vaishnavas. And this is a spiritual family. It's based on spiritual principles. It's based on our service to Krishna. So this is very, very important in our development of our Krishna consciousness, this association with devotees. Even if it's difficult, even if it's a little austere sometimes, never mind. Just continue to associate with devotees. And gradually, one will develop the qualities that are necessary for association with devotees. And we can do this even with our families and friends, invite devotees over and to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Because by a devotee association, everything is there. And that association is not simply physical proximity. Because if we're associating with devotees and we're talking nonsense, that is not association. That is something else. We're talking gossip or mundane things, or talking about, you know, criticizing, or just there's things that are necessary to keep our household together. That's allowable. But if we're talking about useless and topics unrelated to our life in Krishna consciousness, then that's not association. Association means to keep Krishna or religious principles in the center of our association. That is real association. Okay. There's more, but I'm going to keep it a little bit short today, because every day we just cut it off and there's no time for questions. So I was going to take a little more time today for questions. Any questions? Comments at this point? If If not, I can continue. Yes.
What is the best way to make the most out of a little association? It's not always possible to get a lot. What is the most efficient way to get a lot out of the little association we get?
Well, again, what is the best way to get out of a little? What is the best way to get out of a lot? Association means to keep Krishna in the center, basically. If you keep Krishna in the center, or you keep religious principles in the center of that association, then that's association, even if it's a little. Now, Prabhupada writes, association doesn't necessarily mean physical proximity, because association can mean association through instructions also. He says we can associate from a distance. If you're following the instructions of the spiritual master, you're also associating with the spiritual master and through those instructions. That's also association. That is called vani, or associating with the instructions of the spiritual master. Physical association is important because so much is gained from that. But ultimately, in cases when we're not associating with or have little association, we should always meditate on the instructions. So, Prabhupada used to say, you are chanting Hare Krishna, and I am chanting Hare Krishna. What is the question of the separation? Because we're both on the spiritual platform, the association is there. And then when we come together as devotees, then that becomes even more wonderful. But if you're in Maya and I'm in Maya and we come together, it's like, you know, then what do? More Maya? Keep religious principles foremost, and that is the importance of association. And association means to serve. If we want to be served, that is not association. We want to serve. That's the most important thing. To want to be served means you're on the material platform. Sometimes we accept service, just like when we accept prasadam, that's a form of accepting service. But we accept service to give service. We accept service to give service. So there's nothing wrong in being served as long as that is a means for giving service. But one should not want to be served. One should accept service if it's given in order to serve. But the best way to serve is to somehow or other use your intelligence how best to assist others in Krishna consciousness like that. Keep Krishna in the center. That's association. Anyone else? Yes, Mataji. Oh, okay. Oh, one should not reveal their inner mood. In other words, there is an inner mood of devotional service that one keeps quite a secret. But confidential thoughts means to speak maybe what's on one's mind in terms of what it is struggling with in their spiritual life, how to make more advancement, to speak about Krishna, to speak about devotional service. This may not be done with every devotee, but should be done with certain devotees, because we must make friendship with devotees. And making friendship, Prabhupada says, means making friendship with like-minded devotees. We can respect and honor all devotees, but we have intimacy with devotees who are similar in nature. And those who are similar in nature, we can exchange our feelings and our experiences, our realizations. But our inner moods, this is a little bit difficult. In other words, if one is, because a lot of times people don't understand certain experiences, and it may only be understood by you. But you can check these things in a philosophical way by asking questions based on the principle and not so much revealing the exact experience. Just like, I guess the example was in the Mahabharata, there was Bhima. Now Bhima, everyone knows Bhima, right? Big powerful warrior, and he's got the strength of 10,000 elephants, and he's fighting on the battlefield, and he's destroying so many soldiers. And he likes to eat. His name is Vikradhar. It means one who has a belly like a wolf. In other words, one who has a voracious appetite. Bhima could eat large quantities of prasadam. I mean, really large. It would make us look like we're fasting, you know. And so one person was criticizing Bhima. What kind of devotee is that? You know, he's just eating a lot and he's just fighting all the time. So Krishna revealed Bhima's inner mood to this person just to convince him that Bhima was, you know, a great devotee. And in his heart, Bhima was offering flowers to the Lord. This was his constant mood. He's constantly offering nice flowers to the Lord in his heart. This is his mood of worship. You can't see that internally, but that was his mood of worship. So great souls, they have a particular mood of how they're worshiping in the Lord. And generally, we don't reveal that because, you know, people don't understand that. But generally, anything outside of that, one can speak, you know, one's thoughts, one's desires, one's realizations in Krishna consciousness, one's struggles with certain aspects of devotional service. A lot of times, you know, we have this problem. We're having some trouble in Krishna consciousness, and we keep trying to figure out how to solve it by ourselves. I don't know if it's prominent with here in Croatia, but in America, it's a big thing. As I was explaining, Americans have big egos. I mentioned that the other day. And we always think we can figure it out. It's a problem with Americans. You know, it's just like, it's just certain things. And you know. So Prabhupada used to, you know, chastise it. You have to reveal your mind in confidence. And try to get help if you're having some problems. Try to solve the problems yourself. Because when you try to solve the problems yourself, a lot of times you make the problem worse. And sometimes it's not a problem. It's just the mind's created some kind of difficulty. But all of a sudden, a devotee, you just speak it to a devotee and they'll just tell you, hey, this is what you need to do. And your problem's solved. So that's what is revealing one's mind in confidence like that. Getting help, getting inspiration, keeping Krishna in the center. Yes, Matei. Oh, the inner mood? Yeah, it's Raganuga. As you develop in devotional service, two things are happening. You know, you're performing your service, you're hearing and chanting, but your internal mood is developing as you become purified. And Krishna is gradually revealing that to you. But it more or less develops on the spontaneous platform, not on the platform of simply following rules and regulations. One engages in spontaneous devotional service. Okay. But you can't reveal that to, because, and if you do, I remember an amazing thing. When I was at a program, I was giving a lecture. This was in America. And it was a very nice Indian girl there, young girl. She was married. And she said, you know, I never met her before. And during the class, she raised her hand and she started asking questions. And then she starts speaking about herself. She said, you know, Maharaj, I always have dreams about Prabhupada. I'm always dreaming about Prabhupada. I get a lot. He comes in my dreams all the time. And the way she said it was like she wanted everybody to think how great she was. You know, I could see there was a false ego coming out in the way she was saying it. She was kind of like thinking she was special, you know. So I said, that's nice. You know, I kind of encouraged her and didn't say much. So about, when was it? March. It was March 2nd this year. I was traveling from India back to America. And I met her in the airport, same girl. She was traveling the same way. You know, she said, Maharaj, you know, ever since I told you about the, I was having dreams about Prabhupada, he never comes in my dream anymore. He stopped coming. I said, I really shouldn't have said that. I said, right. You became proud, and then for Prabhupada stopped coming. Keep it to yourself, and don't try to make a show of the special mercy that you're getting that is like that. So she was a little bit, you know, feeling special. And so when we feel special, then Krishna drops us. We get a little proud, and Krishna drops us. Radharani, it was Radharani. She was in the Rasa dance with Krishna and all the other gopis. And then Radharani at one point was feeling like, oh, Krishna's, you know, he's not giving me exclusive attention. So she left. And Krishna said, what's the use of this rasa dance without Srimati Radharani? So he went looking for Radharani. And finally, he was going through the forest, he found Radharani. And then they were together and they were both happy. And Krishna took Radharani and put her on his shoulder, and they were going through the forest and enjoying together. And at one point, while Radharani was sitting on the shoulder of Krishna and enjoying so nicely, she started thinking, well, Krishna likes me the best. And then Krishna understood her mind. And then he ran underneath a low-hanging branch. And so he went underneath and she had a grab on. So she was left dangling there and Krishna kept going. So Krishna doesn't like pride. As soon as there's pride, he's gone. So don't ever become proud. Always remain humble. Always consider that whatever progress you're coming is getting is the mercy of the Lord, but it's coming in the association of devotees. So it's by the mercy of the devotees. Sometimes people like to say nice things about you, but actually it's the mercy of the devotees that make us successful in our spiritual life. If we had no devotee association, where would we be? We'd be lost. So the association of devotees is really everything. We can relish that association. And serve. Serve the devotees. Yeah. Question? No? Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. You can ask. You can ask someone. Realization's okay. That's nice. But you should reveal it in a humble way. Not that if you want to get an answer for that, you shouldn't be attached to getting a certain kind of answer. You should accept whatever answer is, and then you may go and speak to a number of people. But usually you go to persons who you know you can receive a clear understanding. Someone you can trust, someone who is considered to be qualified to answer that. Yeah. You know, because sometimes when you ask a lot of devotees, you get a lot of different answers. But go to someone who feel that he can give you the answer. Best to go to your own spiritual master. That's the best place to go. That's what a spiritual master is for. Thank you. Anyone else? Any other questions? Yes, in the Mataji in the back. Like other, like people in general? No, this can only be done in association of devotees. Because if you really reveal your confidential thoughts, you know, even your family members may not understand. As a devotee, we have a certain, we develop certain values in our life. So in revealing our thoughts, we want to more or less understand, you know, things in the right perspective, in the spiritual perspective. I remember, again in America, many devotees were leaving and going to psychologists and getting counseling for different problems that they were having. And these persons were, you know, nice people. But the answers and the therapy they were getting was based on material principles and not spiritual principles. So when you reveal your mind to non-devotees, their values, they see things in a different way. Their value system is different. So they may give you something that is materially sound but spiritually unsound. Like that. Or understand your thoughts in the wrong way. So this can only be done in association with devotees. That's why Prabhupada said, I have established this Krishna conscious society to facilitate these six practices amongst devotees. Does that help? Does that answer your question? Less painful? Well, you know, it's not that we dislike anyone, but and especially our relatives, but we can't associate on that level and expect to be Krishna conscious. So to disassociate yourself with that without making it painful, I mean, you just have to let them understand that this is your life. That's hard. That's not the question. Yeah, you give them a little of your time, but not much. You know, like call them up once in a while, send them a letter, go visit them. You know, like I visit my mother twice a year. I mean, for the first 20 years, I didn't see her at all. Now she's 88, so I once in a while go see her. But when every time I'm there, she just says, "How's your health?" I mean, I can talk about your health all the time, you know. It gets pretty boring. Are you sick? Are you getting proper food? Talking about the relatives, who's dying and who's getting married and who's having problems. After about 30 seconds, you want to get out of there. So the topics are not so... You know, you can be nice. Prabhupada wanted us to be nice to our mothers and fathers, but not to associate too long. You know, give some of your time, but when you feel that after a while you're getting a little bit, you know, you're feeling a little unhappy, then you just leave. If we're expert, we can do a lot in a little bit, you know. Try to make it quality. And when you're with them, just try to keep things on a spiritual level. If you can. If you can talk about Krishna or talk about your life and spiritual, that helps. We'd be nice to them, but we can't cater to all their demands. That's all. Okay. Use your intelligence. Krishna will help you. Anyone else? There's none more questions. Yes, Mataji. That's not working, that microphone. Okay, try again.
You can hear. I spoke with some people who are like new devotees or Krishna's friends, aspiring devotees, who doesn't have so good experience with devotees, and they got a bit disappointed because maybe they didn't, I don't know.
They weren't treated properly.
Yeah, something like that. And then at the same time, they know this, what you are speaking about today, that association of devotees is very important. So they don't know how to put these things together, and I didn't know exactly what to answer. So what would you recommend to answer in such a cases?
Yeah, well, it's usually based on the nature of their experience. Then they should associate with those devotees who they feel that they can be happy with, or some they have some relationship with. Be very selective in their association, because you really need association. It's the basis of happiness. To associate with devotees, you become happy. It's hard, but when someone has a bad experience, you can tell them, one thing you can tell them is that, you know, try to forgive and then go on. And if you're not associating with devotees, you're only hurting yourself. And if you can create within them some confidence by associating, or they can create association within their own home. Just invite some friends who are devotees over and just have intimate association. Some people will never come back to the temple or to an assembly of large devotees, but they may find happiness in associating with a few devotees. That's nice. As long as there's some devotee association. Otherwise, when we don't associate devotees, guess who we associate with? Our mind. And our mind has always given us problems. Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says your mind is a non-devotee. Haribo. He says that. Your mind is a non-devotee. So if you associate with your mind, you're associating with a karmi. And so the point is that you should make your mind a devotee. And then you can associate with him. What is the nature of the mind? Dissatisfaction. Mind's always dissatisfied, right? Nothing's right. This is not right, that's not right, this is not right. Chandramali's lecture is all right, but I would rather take prasadam, you know. You know, so many things. And the mind is always giving us problems. So we have to associate with devotees and forget about the mind is like a little mouse. It's always talking to us, right? Shut up. And, you know. Of course, if you can put Krishna in that sound, then that's the best. But devotees help us to do that. Yes. No. 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 Not at all. No, one should associate not with all devotees, one should associate with like-minded devotees, those who have similar personalities. We can't associate with everybody because our personalities are different, and sometimes we have problems on a personal level. When you transcend all your differences, then you can associate with everybody. But on the beginning stage, we should associate with like-minded devotees and get a foothold in devotional service. As we become purified, then we develop an inner strength where we can associate not only with devotees, but with even non-devotees and not become affected. So we associate with like-minded devotees and get inspired by that association. And all the other devotees we respect. It's not that because you don't associate with everyone, it doesn't mean you don't respect them. You respect them, you give them regards, but intimacy and regular association is done with people who you can, who you feel happy with, like that. And then, of course, when we come together in kirtans and classes, that is association. That is association. So that in that way, we're associated with many devotees. But everyone needs friendship in Krishna consciousness. We have to have friendship. If we don't develop friendship with devotees, we'll develop friendship with non-devotees. We have to have friends. So sometimes people get married just so they can have somebody to talk to, you know. It's like that. We all need relationships. It's not that we're all so pure devotees we can just associate with Krishna all the time. We need devotee relationships. So. Yeah. Okay. We'll come back and then you can go first. We should. No, he didn't say that. He said that we should concentrate first on. He said we should preach to the devotees first. That's important. In 1975, Prabhupada made a very powerful statement. He said, "We have expanded our society enough. Now we have to boil the milk." He may have said, now we have to make the devotees more qualified. So let's concentrate on proving the quality of the devotees we have instead of making more and more devotees with no qualifications. He says, when you have milk, if you keep adding water to it, it becomes more like water. So we're not interested in extending our society more and more. We're interested in making quality devotees that are already within our society. That's more important. Because if you have one pure devotee, he can change the whole world. That's how the power of purity is so important. So let's make everyone who's already in our society pure devotees. That's why preaching to the devotees is so important. And we should also preach outside. But if we're neglecting the devotees and just preaching outward, then that, you know, all we're going to do is just, you know, people got to come in and go, come in and go. Someone comes, joins Krishna consciousness, and after a while they leave. It's the revolving door program, right? Better to concentrate in educating and taking care of devotees, make them strong spiritually. So we're not into numbers, we're into quality. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, okay, more? Of course, that's number one, first priority. Well, if you take care of them, they won't get fried. Fried means, you know, that there's something that... Here's the idea. To take care of a devotee means to give them everything they need to become Krishna conscious. It's up to the leaders, really, to do this. In other words, whatever a devotee needs to become Krishna conscious, they should be able to find that within this society of devotees. And that means Prabhupada wanted our society to develop from all angles of vision. In other words, even as far as our work is concerned. You know, sometimes we have to go work and we work for non-devotees. Why not establish devotee businesses, have devotees working with devotees and doing business like that? That we don't have to associate with non-devotees in your workplace. That's one aspect of taking care of devotees. If you study the model in India on Radhanath Maharaj's program in Chaupati, they have the IDEA program. That's their program, to take care of devotees, number one. And so that's done in the congregation and it's done in the temple, both. So what does that mean? That means that if a devotee has any problem or any concern, either material or spiritual, they can find whatever they need within the society of devotees to take care of that situation. If they need money, if they need a husband or a wife, if they need employment, if they need spiritual education, if they need some problem solved, or if they just need general Krishna consciousness, everything is found within the society of devotees. Not that, where do I go? I got this problem, or I have this need, where do I go? It's not here. I can't find it, so I have to go outside. That's what it means to take care of devotees, to create a culture of a society, ultimately, which will expand out and out like that. We have our own society of devotees. It's a family. And there's a practical program for doing that. And it's up to the leaders to do it. It's being done in some places, more and more now. You can do that here. This would be an idea to discuss how you could figure out how to do this more and more. Create this atmosphere of community. Yes, Mataji.
What can we do? Because they don't want to...
Then you have to become a leader then.
It's also not possible, because how can one become a leader?
Well, a leader in the sense that if you have a certain vision and the vision is in line with Krishna consciousness, then that can be introduced. And if enough people get behind it, then it can actually become a program. The first thing in beginning anything is communication. Communication is the beginning of beginning anything. So you start and discuss what is called sadhusanga. Istagosti means to come together and discuss how we can improve our Krishna consciousness, practically and spiritually, like that. And one should approach the leaders and say, hey, this is what we need. This is our concerns. As a leader, let's see what you can do to help. It's not that the leader should be with the devotees. Prabhupada writes that the GBC is meant to take care of all and make sure the devotees are happy in their spiritual practice. Not only GBC, but sannyasis, gurus, temple presidents, everyone who's got a position should be concerned about the welfare of the devotees that they're taking care of. Now in the community, you can establish community leadership also and develop community where, say, there the concern of taking care of children, educating children, and just associating in general, one can develop a program within the community to take care of these responsibilities. I think you'll hear that much more. When is it? Today is Tuesday. I think it's tomorrow night. His Holiness Jai Pataka Maharaj is going to do a program on congregational preaching and how that's developing in many places in the world, how congregations are developing and having strong relationships within the congregation. So that's possible, and it's actually happening. Okay. But if you have a concern, you should always present it to someone who's a leader and see if they can solve that. Devotees shouldn't have any problems. Prabhupada's in Krishna consciousness, there's no problems. There's only challenges. And our challenges should be presented, and we should overcome the challenge and go on to the next challenge. Okay, yes, way in the back. Well, who's going to do the preaching? The devotees. So the stronger the devotees, the stronger the preaching. So when you have, if you got to take care of the house first before you can take care of the office. So preaching's important, and it should never be stopped, and should continue to expand, but the first priority is to clean house. That's first. Therefore, both go on, but if you ask me what's more important, I think preaching to the devotees is more important than preaching outside. But not one program should be sacrificed in the other. That's all. Because also, preaching is a way of engaging the devotees nicely. And one who's preaching nicely, they're making nice advancements. So that's also educating the devotees. Because everyone, by preaching, you also learn the philosophy like that. So Prabhupada was interesting. If another program came up in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada would adopt it, but when devotees would say, okay, Prabhupada, let's do this program and we'll stop this one, Prabhupada said no. He would always add programs, never stop one for the other. Because, that's not the idea. The idea is to have many programs going on, but we have to see what is the priority. Priority is our own internal development. If the internal development's there, whatever you do externally really is not going to have much effect. So what we have today is you have a few people preaching, and then you have the rest of the persons just trying to struggle to maintain themselves in their spiritual practice. We want to make everybody a preacher. So that means we have to educate everyone. Okay, yes. Yeah. Book distribution will always remain high on the list of programs, but it's not the only program. I mean, it's the foundation for everything, because congregational preaching means book distribution, because you're going to give books to people in the congregation. You're going out on the streets and you're doing book distribution. That's book distribution. Book distribution has many aspects to it, but we also need to have programs for other programs to go on simultaneously. Like this. This is powerful. You know, the book distributors are here. Many other devotees are here. You'll come here for a whole week. What do? Hear and chant the glories of the Lord in the association of so many devotees. After 1 week of this, you know, if you absorb yourself into this, when you come out, I mean, your consciousness is transformed. You go back out, you're stronger. So we need these programs too. Everything is necessary. But book distribution will always remain one of the most important practices of preaching in our society. Because Prabhupada said, books are the basis. Utility is the principle. Preaching is the essence. Purity is the force. So books are the basis. Because everything is based on what we do, on the words of the Lord, and the words of the Lord coming through the pure devotees. It's based on this knowledge. So the foundation for everything we do is our philosophical teachings that are written in the books. So we have, these things have to be there. But the problem is, a lot of times, you know, book distribution is going on, but devotees are not reading books. You know, a few people are reading and distributing, and everybody else is not reading, you know. No time to read because we're doing so many other things. I bet you could really do some book distribution among the devotees, too. How many of you read every day? Not counting camp. Every day. That's not something about half. That's a service, to read every day. Beyond just hearing class, we should be reading also. It's important. So we want other people to read the books, but we're a little weak in that ourselves. How many of you can give a Bhagavatam class? I don't want to make you feel bad. I'm not judging you. That's not the idea. But the idea is that everyone should be able to give a class. Really. Everyone should be able. So why don't we train each devotee to be able to give a class? Not only men, women, householders. Everyone should be able to give a class. I think Bir Krishna Maharaj says, part of one of his seminars, he's going to teach how to give a Bhagavatam class. That's coming up in one of his seminars tomorrow. Yeah, so all come to that. It's easy to give a class. Anybody can do it. Once you get over the idea that, you know, you're the one that's giving the class, as soon as you realize it's not you, then you can give the class. As soon as you think I'm giving the class, you're in trouble. We pray to Prabhupada and Krishna for their mercy, and then by their mercy we can do something. I don't want to talk about myself, but I'll tell you one thing. When I was growing up and I was going to school, my greatest fear in life was public speaking. And when the teacher would ask me to speak in front of class, I would change like five different shades of colors, and I would shake so much that it looked like I had an epileptic fit or something. I was just shaking, you know. I couldn't even speak. I never in public speaking. God, that was like worse than death. Death was better. But you know, when you come to Krishna consciousness, somehow or other. Another example, Radhanath Maharaj. His His teachers used to write on his report card, "Your son never speaks, never says anything in school." Now he gives lectures like 5 hours, you know. You know, it's like, you know, this is Krishna consciousness. It can just transform someone's character. So if we get over this idea that, you know, I can't do anything, we can do everything by the empowerment of Krishna. And there are certain things give us that confidence, but we have to feel that confidence within ourselves, that if I can serve in this way, and I pray to the Lord, and I learn some aspects of how to do the service nicely, and that builds our confidence, then we can do that. We can distribute books. We can worship the deities. We can lead kirtans. We can give classes. We can cook. Prabhupada says a brahmana means one who can do all services. All services. When Prabhupada started this movement in the old days, you know, many of us didn't have any qualifications to do the services. Prabhupada just said, "You do it and surrender, and Krishna will empower you." And that's how Prabhupada spread the movement. Nowadays, sometimes, "Prabhu, can you do this?" "Well, it's not my propensity." Propensity, you know, these things are, I mean, there's some tendency. But if you surrender, then you develop the propensity. That's all. So, I don't know if I answered your question or not. But thank you. Anyone else? Any other questions? Okay, actually it's right on time. Today I ended on time. Hari Bol. Wasn't that? It's good. By your mercy. Thank you. Okay, so association with devotees, of course, association with great souls, associating with all devotees, because devotee association, we can find everything we're looking for in spiritual life. Okay, so tomorrow we'll speak about Srimad Bhagavatam. That will be the topic. Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.